I don't think it's crazy for them to think, well, hopefully in Patrick Williams, in 3 years, he can be a contributing rotation player, especially with how much time they gave him in his first season, you know, playing, just giving him the starting position and letting him develop. I didn't think it was a crazy idea, but you better be right in that internal valuation of Patrick Williams. Obviously, they were dead wrong. I mean, it's been a horrible, horrible decision. I never saw anywhere near enough improvement for you to make that decision. You should have traded him in retrospect for Jeremy Grant or for any of those players that people were talking about that were available at the time. All of it would have been better answers. And this is the only part of the argument now that I wanted to get into, which is the, you know, this attitude that I know Mark has held for a long time. And I'm not sure, Doug, where you're on this one. Is this now sell the team, you know, shouting at the owner and just all the anger at Reinsdorf? I always kind of viewed that as like just kind of like a waste of time, in all honesty. It's like yelling at the sun for global warming. Like, yep, it's part of the reason, there's no doubt about it, but you know, there's a lot that we can do to put us in a better situation and still succeed. It's like, I don't think they're that awful. I mean, they're not. We won 6 titles and under the same owner, and we had only a scant 10 years ago a team that was an absolute title contender, and you know, we didn't win there, and I think you can make an argument there, losing Korver, that was possibly decisions there, but in terms of ownership, that affected the success of the team. But I'm kind of like, I don't know what you want them to do. Like, give me a concrete reason why, you know, Reinsdorf is the reason for this, because I don't think it is. It's solely on the feet of Acme and the decisions they made. So, Mark, I'll turn it over to you.
Well, I don't think it has to be one person's fault. And to answer your question, yes, the Reinsdorfs are terrible. I think that's pretty clear to me. But I understand your point, and I, on some level, I agree with it too, that whilst they are limiting, whilst they don't let you go into the tax, whilst they will always penny pinch and want to be as cost controlled as possible and run this like a business, which is their complete right, so long as they're the parameters you're working around, you still can put together good teams. So to your point, Acme deserves fault for the decisions he's made, you know, within those parameters. But the fact that those parameters exist is why ownership is problematic as well, because I do think there is untapped potential for this franchise, and they are living too much on, you know, what happened 25, 30 years ago. It's time to move on. It's time to change. It's actually time to spend some dollars. You have you've got a global brand right at your hands. The fact that I'm talking to you guys right now is because of what occurred 25 to 30 years ago, not what's happened, you know, within the last 5 to 10 years sort of thing. So
it's true.
I will always be frustrated with ownership, but on your point here, the reason we're into this current disaster, it largely sits at Acme. Having said that, I mean, there are tools at Acme's disposal right now, which he probably is not able to use. And maybe part of the reasons he can't use those things is because someone like Lonzo Ball is a negative cap asset at this point. You've got $20 million on your books that you're not utilizing, and this isn't maybe a team that you want to go into the tax for. I get all that. I hear all that. But we do have the disabled player exception available. We have part of the mid-level exception available. We have the biannual exception available. So these things, coming back to my point before around them just sort of just stopping all of a sudden, when you have these available assets for your disposal, and for whatever reason you're not using them, that's the frustrating thing. But I don't think Acme's not using them just because he doesn't want to use them. I think he's not using them because ownership won't allow him to use them. And again, maybe there's good reasons for that not being the case, but I don't want to pretend that ownership isn't bad, just at the same way I don't want to pretend that it's all ownership and that Acme's done nothing wrong, because he clearly has.
Doug, your comments.
I would only say, I think ownership is a problem, but it's not today's problem. That's how I always have said this. Teams that project to win 40 games don't pay the luxury tax. They just don't. Like, they don't. Go around the league. None of them do it. The teams that pay the luxury tax are the teams that feel they have a chance to do something. No owner is like, oh, I'm going to get my ass kicked in the first round. Like, if everything goes perfectly, I'm going to still lose in the first round. I'm going to sign up to pay the tax. And then the other thing specifically with this year, I mean, we're hard capped because we use the MLE. So it's like the amount extra we can spend is like, I think it's maybe like $6 million,
$7 million.
Yeah. Like, okay. Like, is there a move for $7 million that you think is changing this franchise in any meaningful way? And So, like, I would love it if we would pay it. Like, if it was like, hey, we need to trade Zach, and we're going to have to pay the tax to make a Zach trade work so we can get enough assets back. Like, if you could use that $7 million to, like, collect a draft pick or, like, something. But, like, we weren't a $7 million player away from having a different outcome. Like, if you added any $7 million player not on a rookie contract, so who was available in free agency for that price and would have reasonably come here at that price, like, that guy is not changing the outcome of what this team is. So I agree it's a problem. They're cheap. Like, I totally don't have faith that if we were, like, maybe going to win that we would pay the tax. Like, if we were in the Rose era and everyone was healthy and they made us get rid of Korver, even though, like, Rose could have come back in a year and he could have been a valuable player for us, and, like, that was a problem where ownership was cheap and it hurt the franchise. And, you know, if Rose had stayed healthy, I would have had doubts that they would have made all the right moves and gone like $30 million into the tax at Golden State to win a title. Like, I don't think they would have. And that would then be a huge ownership problem. Agreed. So they're a problem, but yeah. They're not today's problem. Today's problem is we made poor decisions. Like, I think it's reasonable for any owner, and most owners would behave this way. If you want me to pay the tax, you got to convince me you're a second round team. I think that's just kind of like a standard. And so even if we made that standard, I'm not convinced we'd pay it. But again, it's just not today's problem. And we have a lot of problems. Like, you can up and down everything we got. We have a lot more problems than we do solutions. So I'll complain about that, just not today. Like, that's you know, hopefully in a couple of years we'll be at a point where I can complain about it because we'll be good again. You know, but right now, like, nah, no one else would pay it either.
Yeah, and to be clear, I'm not saying they're great owners. I mean, I have no doubt they wouldn't have done what, you know, the guy who just took over in Phoenix is doing, like putting all resources possible, spending as much money as possible, or Golden State or Boston. I don't think they would have done that. Yes, that's a problem, big picture. But I also don't think they're the worst. I mean, you know, looking at what Michael did, unfortunately, for Charlotte and, you know, some of these other, they do run this franchise like a small market, no doubt about it. And that is very frustrating, but, like, I just think it's kind of like a waste of energy just to be screaming, you know, sell the team.
Yeah, nothing's going to happen.
What's the guarantee whoever comes in is going to be a better owner? They're owners. I have zero faith in any of these guys unless they're going to be willing to spend a ton of money. And, you know, who knows? Who knows if they're going to do that? Yes, you know, I hope so, but it's just kind of like a waste of time. We're in this mess because of these two guys, Acme. It's yelling at Reinsdorf isn't going to do anything. Let's say I buy the team and I turn it over to you guys to run. Well, first of all, that's great news because I guarantee I'll do whatever it takes besides pay a luxury tax for a 40-win team. So let's say, Mark, you, what would you do? I know both of you want to blow it up, but is there anybody currently on the roster you would say, yeah, I'm going to keep them and build around this guy? Or at least keep as part of a rebuild?
No.
No one. Doug, is there anybody that you would have that you'd say, you know what, I'd probably think of keeping?
Is this a real question?
Yeah, it's a real question. I think it's a valid one.
Yeah,
I think
the answer is no. Mark already answered the question correctly. Like, there's no other reasonable answer to this question. Like, I'm not saying I would have to get rid of everyone on the team. Like, you could keep Kobe White. You know, it's fine.
Yes.
But, like, yes. Like, so what if I lose? Like, if someone gives me, like, 2 second rounders for Kobe White, like, I'd probably be like, yeah, okay. Like, I just don't know what you're going to do with him anyway. He's got 2 more years left on his deal. You know, I think the main decision you have to make if you're going to do something here is, are you going to try to be really, really bad? And we've seen where that's hard and doesn't work super well anymore. Like, the lottery odds are a lot worse than they used to be for the really bad teams. And, you know, or are you going to say, hey, look, let's keep some guys like Kobe or whatever. Let's bring in a bunch of players who are just like decent role players and maybe can cobble together 35 wins and our draft pick won't be as good. And we're going to trade all these guys and maybe get like a bunch of mid-range draft picks. And then we're going to try to hope we get lucky with, you know, like a Giannis or a Kawhi or a Jokic, like someone who's like, yeah, wasn't an obvious star, a maxi, you know, but came out later in the draft. And you just have like, you know, maybe 3 mid-round firsts for a couple of years and you hope you catch lightning in a bottle. Like, those are really your two choices. Like, no matter what you have to do, though, your decisions now should be, how do I expand the asset base of the franchise? And so you should be looking to take on bad contracts, use whatever financial power you have to take on bad salary and get picks with it. You know, you should just be thinking about what just adds assets, because the asset base is so bad right now. You just need to figure out, how can I add assets that are long-term assets, and then hope that some of these you get lucky and they turn into something good. And how you approach that just depends what markets are out there. Sorry, what the trade market is for all of the guys you would want to move. But like Caruso gone, Zach gone, DeMar gone, Vooch gone, you know, like just anyone that's going to give me any type of long-term assets gone, and then see where you end up.
Mark, thoughts? Any comments on his comments?
No, I mean, I think it's fair. Like, would I keep Kobe White beyond this year? Yeah, okay, cool, fine. I'll keep Patrick Williams to a reasonable number, assuming you can re-sign him to a reasonable number. And a reasonable number is certainly anything less than $20 million. I'll keep Io because why not? But beyond that, like, even if I'm keeping these guys, because they're young, like, I'm not wedded to them either. I don't necessarily think these are blue-chip guys. They're easily replaceable. You know, I'm keeping them just for the sake because I need to keep someone, I guess, is the point. But I'm moving all the veterans. I'm moving Zach. I'm moving Caruso. I'm moving DeMar if I can. I'm moving Vooch. But the reality is you probably have to keep him at this point. So I don't think there is a team beyond this current iteration that makes any sense. The next good team that you're going to hopefully build around or put together is going to have to come based on what you get back from Zach and Caruso. And to be honest with you, you just need luck at this stage. Like, you need to hit on that 2024 pick that you do have. You need to ensure that you continue to be bad. That way you have a pick in this 2025 draft and you don't give it to the San Antonio Spurs. That protection doesn't come to be. So I don't see a path whereby anyone on this roster can make sense to be a flagship going forward. And maybe you feel differently with Kobe White, Frederick. You seemingly are the biggest Kobe White fan that I know, despite him being worse than Cole Anthony. But I'm not really enamored by any of these guys.
Worse than Cole Anthony. Do you really believe that? I'd like to get that on record. Just so
have you
sure.
done a play comparison based on their numbers?
The numbers for Kobe White so far this year have been very poor. I'm not going to argue about that. But,
yes.
I mean, are you telling me if you're starting a team right now, you'd rather have Cole Anthony than Kobe White?
I think I would, yeah.
I think that's absolute insanity. But let's get off it. I don't want to get lost on this tangent. I mean, like, tanking, I'm really anti-tanking now. I did some research on how teams have fared for purposely tanking and if it's brought success. Can you guys tell me in the last 25 years, there's four teams that have actually won the number one pick and actually got to a conference final, not a finals, a conference final. There's only four teams who've done that for the team that drafted them. Can you guys name those players? I'm going to throw it out there. 25.
How many years did you say?
It's a fun quiz. 25 years, four players.
Just for the number one pick?
Number one pick overall. You won the number one pick overall. So, like, think about it. And the reason I'm saying this is, like, all the hours that we lost praying for Zion. What did that get the New Orleans Pelicans? All these teams that have just, like, continually tried to lose and then they win the gold mine, getting that number one overall pick, very seldom guarantees success unless you have a team built around it. I'll tell you the four players. LeBron James got Cleveland to the finals.
Mm-hmm.
Kyrie Irving, only because LeBron James came back to Cleveland, and so they got to the finals. Derrick Rose, who had a great team around him. And the other one was Dwight Howard, got to the conference finals in 2010 or 2009 with the Orlando Magic. I'm talking about, again, the team that drafted them. Wait, maybe I screwed it. Did Ayton get to the conference finals
mm-hmm.
with the Suns?
Yep. Yeah, they went to the finals.
Oh, that's right. Sorry, that's fine. I screwed it up.
So your stats are wrong, is what you're saying.
But yeah, there's five players. So Ayton got there. I screwed up. That's bad. But still, five out of the, you know, 25 last year. I guess it's 20%. Okay, kind of. Maybe that makes your point.
Well,
where was I going with this?
Well, I think the other thing too, Fred, that you have to, it's not just about getting the number one pick, right?
Yeah.
Like OKC did it with Kevin Durant. You know, it was the number two pick. Like, I mean, and
mm-hmm.
so a team like Milwaukee did it with Giannis. So he's picked 15. The Spurs
at
did
15,
it with,
yeah.
you know, Kawhi was picked 15. Like, Luka, I'll put it, let me rephrase it this way. It's not that you need to be bad. It's that you need to get a star in the draft. if you look at all the teams that are successful, the vast, vast majority of them have at least one star that they built around that they got in the draft. Often that star convinces the other stars to come, or maybe you draft two or three stars like Golden State, you know, entirely built in the draft. But like you usually start with that one star player you somehow got in the draft, and that's how you get where you're going. And so that can come in different places, which is why I said you don't have to necessarily be so bad that you're going to pick at the top. But if you don't, then you want to have a lot of picks, because it's a pretty steep curve at like where guys are valuable, and the further down you go, the less likely it is you get the star. So if you're going to be picking in the teens, then you want multiple selections every year. But if you had like two picks in the teens every year, you probably would get a star, you know, after 4 or 5 years, and you might never be really bad. Like, that might be an approach. Like, you know, if you have as many picks as the Thunder, you're probably going to get yourself some star players without even getting number one or number two or number three, because you just have so many chances at it. You know, so it doesn't have to be that you're the worst team ever just because you try to get draft assets back. That's what you have to decide. Do I want to try to be a little bit better and then have more chances? But you just need to get more assets. You just need to get more assets.
Yeah, and just because other teams made terrible decisions with their first, second, or third pick doesn't mean we have to either. Like, all right, cool, the Kings drafted Marvin Bagley with the second overall pick and took him over Luka Doncic. Does that mean that the Bulls are going to be destined to do the same type of thing? No, you don't have to. You mentioned Zion before. You can even throw Jar into it as well. But like, yes, that's the correct decision to tank for those guys. Now, because those guys become what they are 5 years in, and Jar goes off the rails for reasons which you can't necessarily foresee at the time of draft, or and Zion's just hasn't turned into the professional that you hope he would, like, that doesn't negate the reasoning or the thought process behind tanking for a player like that. So I think it makes sense. I'll always be a tanker. I'll always be a process kind of person. I think it makes sense. But, you know, for purists like yourselves, I understand why it's painful.
Mark, do you want to use this opportunity to admit that you might have been wrong in terms of comparing Acme to Garpax? Out of those two orgs, like, which one do you think did a better job?
Well, they're both terrible, so the comparison is apt. They both stink.
Doug, do you want to correct Mark's thoughts here?
Not really. So, like, look, I'm generally a fan of John Paxson. I think he did a pretty great job between 2004 and, like, maybe 2014-15. And even when they went to rebuild, like, I don't think it was that bad. But, like, when you're there that long, it's not surprising. Like, you think, like, every fan hates their general manager and their head coach unless they're winning a title. Like, those, like, just by default. So, like, you can't even have a rational discussion about them still, because there's, like, so much anger about how it ended. And I completely get that, too. But, you know, the one thing I'll say is, it's like, you mentioned if you get the number one pick, how many teams are successful. The Bulls drafted Derrick Rose, and Derrick Rose, make no mistake, was nowhere near like a LeBron type of player. Like, he was nowhere near a top five guy in the NBA. There was a pretty big gap. He won the MVP, but that was just, people were so excited because they hated LeBron, and there was a lot to the story. I mean, he was like probably at his peak, maybe like the 10th best player in the league.
And, no, I disagree.
Well,
with that,
fine. Though. Go ahead. Go look up like any of his stats. He was like mediocrely efficient. Didn't have great assist numbers. Didn't have great court vision. And they built a team that won the most games in the NBA in two consecutive years around him, in his third and fourth year. And so, like, people are like, oh, well, you know, like, they can't do anything. Yeah, they got lucky one time, and they're like, oh, well, they just got lucky with Rose. Yeah, they got lucky, and then they built a team that won the most games in the league 2 years in a row, like over 60 wins. You know, like, is San Antonio going to win over 60 games in 2 years and in 3 years? You know, because they got Wemby. And Wemby's like a better prospect than Rose was. Did the Cavs do that with LeBron, who's like a dramatically better prospect than Rose was? Like, you know, like, they actually did like a pretty good job in those time periods. And then when they were building around, like, say, pedestrian players like Gordon and Heimrich and Dang, like, not real stars, but like quality players. Even then, they like they put together a good team. They always moved off guys early. Like they got a pick for Tyrus. They got a pick for Mirotić. They got a pick for James Johnson. They got a pick for Tabo Sefolosha. Like they weren't like married to their guys. Like people always hated the flexibility thing, but like they're, you know, like now you're like, geez, I wish Acme had some flexibility. Like you understand, like they were paired well with this organization, which was cheap as fuck. Right. Like, because like they made all these moves that were super cost conscious. They never let themselves get into a salary cap hole. And you can kind of see like with the Reinsdorfs, you kind of had to behave that way. So, you know, like whatever, like I don't think they were superstar GMs by any stretch, but I felt like I look at like head coaches and general managers kind of similarly, like they belonged, like they were okay. Like, I don't think they were amazing. They weren't like Pat Riley, like pulling three superstars out of his ass and convincing him to take less money to go to Miami. Like they weren't like amazing. But they were fine, and Acme is not fine. And so, you know, it was also after 18 years, if you just have fine for 18 years, you want to move on. Like, we totally should have got rid of them. That's great. But, you know, like, they were fine. Like, they probably don't deserve quite as much hatred if they get – they just had too long of a run. Like, after 12 years, you probably just should have been like, you know what, this is long enough. We just need to do something else. Like, Tom Thibodeau was a good coach. But by the time he left, it was time to move on. And Gar Pax was like, if you just kept Tom Thibodeau here for 18 years and like it just you were just like had the same shit going on forever and you were just pissed about it, right? Like you just at some point, like everyone has an expiration date on their job and there's like long past, which is why there's so much anger. But like their actual work quality was okay. Like it wasn't terrible, wasn't amazing, it was okay. And Acme's work quality so far is awful. And maybe if he gets another chance, maybe his next run will be okay. Like, you know, you don't know. Like, people, like, I actually don't think he has an IQ of, like, 15 or something. Like, people can learn and grow and change and improve, and it's his first time being a GM. Like, he could get better. I'm gonna keep my fingers crossed that that happens.
Speaking of work quality, let's wrap it up with one more topic. Billy Donovan. Billy Donovan is now, he's been targeted by large swaths of the fan base as the reason why Patrick isn't succeeding, reason why the team, the primary reason behind the team's faults and foibles. What say you? Let's start out with Doug and then we'll go to Mark and we'll spin things up here a little bit.
But before that,
Billy Donovan.
Mark, any thoughts on my Gar Pax thing? Do you agree or disagree?
No, I was a Gar Pax supporter for the first 10 years for all the reasons you noted, but then things completely fell off dramatically. But I think one thing that people forget about or don't think about is the relationship aspect of it. Like, they blew up the relationship with Thibodeau. Like, there's things that they did in previous years that blew up things with players as well, or previous head coaches. So I think that part of it gets lost. There were certain teams that just didn't want to deal with the Bulls because of Gar Forman and those sorts of things. So the relationship side of thing, I don't think they were very good at, and that impacted them. But I think the league also caught up to them, and they were maybe smart for a period of time and had some competitive advantage in certain spaces, which allowed them to be good from 2004 through 2014. But then as the league started to get smarter and better, they didn't maybe, you know, they weren't increasing their abilities at the same rate as the rest of the league. But that Jimmy Butler trade, I'll always come back to. That was when things fell off, and to be fair, even before that. They started making bad decisions, erroneous decisions. So when I talk about Gar Pax, I'm thinking about them in their last 3 to 5 years. And I can see Fred bristling right now. But I just laughed
for you. I was a Gar Pax fan for the first 10 years. So that would put you right around 2013.
Yeah.
And if you look back.
And then it went terrible from there.
Hold on a second. 2007, they draft Noah. 2008, they draft Rose. 2009, Taj Gibson. 2010, Tibbs. And 2011, Jimmy Butler, 30. Wow, you're a fan of that? Like, are you freaking nuts? Like, if you weren't a fan of that, you're a moron.
No, but the problem with
you... Of course you were a fan of that.
...is you use the, you know, a move that they made 10 years ago to justify their presence in 2017 as an example. Like, that's
no,
my
issue.
No,
I thought Bobby Portis was a great pick. I thought where he was picked at 22, yeah, you don't like Bobby Portis, but I thought that was a great pick. I thought Lauri Markkanen, in retrospect, was the right pick. Like, I never had a problem with their draft pick. Hey, let's not get down this rabbit hole, because I agree with what Doug said. It was time
Billy
to Donovan. Go. They were there for a very long time.
Billy
and,
Donovan.
And you know what? Yeah, Billy Donovan. So let's get into Billy Donovan. So we'll start out with you in this one, Doug. Billy Donovan right now is in danger of losing his job.
Is he?
Is he, though?
What say you? I think so.
I mean, I don't think so. Trouble. I don't think he's in any danger of losing his job.
All right, maybe not. No, do you think that's right, or do you think he should go?
I think about Donovan, what I just said about Garpax in some ways. Like, he's fine. Like, most head coaches don't move the needle. And, you know, like, I think he belongs. Like, he's a legit NBA head coach. I think he's smart. I think he knows what he's doing. There's things I disagree with. Everyone always hates the head coach. And it's because you always judge the head coach on, like, things you can't know. So it's always like, oh, if he had played this rotation, then blah, 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 would have been so much better. And, you know, there's certain things I wish he would do differently. But I think he's fine. Like, I don't think he's a loser. Like, Jim Boylan was a loser. Like, Jim Boylan should not be a head coach. Fred Hoiberg should not be.
Jim Boylan his job?
Your favorite guy. And my favorite guy.
Coming back to the relationship side of things. Yeah.
Yeah.
Jim Boylan was a bad coach. No denying that.
So,
I'm going to step out on a limb and say it.
Yeah. So, you know, like, Vinny Del Negro was a terrible coach. Fred Hoiberg was a terrible coach. I posted this on Real GM once, but I was basically like, you know what? It seems like we have a real coach, and then we go through two losers before we get another real coach. That's like the pattern the Bulls have. So, you know, we had Thibodeau, then we went through two losers, and then we got to Donovan, now who's a real coach again. And so when we fire Donovan, we're going to go through two losers again before we get to another head coach who's not a complete loser. That's my prediction. I don't actually believe that pattern holds that exact way. But, I mean, my point, though, is there's a pretty good chance when we fire Donovan that you're going to get someone worse. Like, I think there's a fair chance that happens. And I don't think he's amazing, but I think he's pretty low on my list of problems. Like, the biggest problem is that this team sucks and doesn't have a lot of talent. And people think it has talent because they're like, oh, well, Vooch. I want to just throw up in my mouth every time I hear someone say Vooch is our third best player. No, he's not. Come on. You think Vooch is better than Alex Caruso? Get the hell out of here. It's not even close. Like, it's literally not even close. Like, so it's just the team isn't that good. That's it. And the pieces fit together like shit. You like Vooch and DeMar like clog up the court. They don't fit well with anyone. You know, like Zach can't like drive into traffic without losing the ball because he's got like child-sized hands. You know, like Patrick Williams is too scared to like do anything. You know, it's just like they just don't fit. They don't have a lot of talent. Like, it just, but people are like, oh, if only we played Javon Carter with the starters, the whole thing would turn around. Like, no, like, I wish we would do that. Like, I want to see it, but like, no, come on. We're not a Javon Carter in a starting lineup away from being a good team. We're just not. So, yeah, it's fine. Like, I don't care. If we fire Billy, I'm not going to, like, cry about it, but, like, I don't think it's going to do anything.
Mark, any thoughts on child-sized hands?
Well, I get cast as I'm not touching that specific topic, but I defend Billy. And I'm a Billy apologist, not because I think he's a great, amazing coach, but because I think the rhetoric around him is just so ridiculous. There are people who think he is the worst coach in basketball, or that he's holding this. I read a comment on Twitter the other day, and now, granted, I'm probably amplifying a minority, one idiot's point, but I read a tweet from someone saying that had there been a different coach in place, whoever the coach may be, that this team has the potential to win 50 to 60 games. And I just read that, I'm like, I didn't respond because I just chose to go about the rest of my day. But I'm like, there's people out there who, to Doug's point, who think this roster is really well put together and, you know, are one coaching change away from really competing in the Eastern Conference. And I just don't understand how you could think that's possibly the case. And this is another thing that annoys me. Like, people talk about their offense and how bad it is and how surprised they are by that. But I'm like, how are you surprised by that where there is no shooting on this team and your best decision maker are, you know, score first wings who aren't, you know, great facilitators themselves? Like, where is the playmaking on this team? And you're surprised that this is not a good offense? So to me, it comes back to the talent on this team, I don't think it's very talented more generally, but even if there is talent here, to Doug's point, it doesn't necessarily fit or fit very well together. So my view on this whole thing is, like, there's three or five great coaches in the NBA. There's three to five terrible coaches in the NBA. And everyone in between that is of similar variation. And this is the funny thing, like, and coming back to Doug's point as well, like, fans are going to whomever the coach is, unless you've got like Eric Spoelstra, like fans are going to be railing against the coach for whatever decision might be, whether it's a rotational thing. You think if you fire Billy Donovan now, the next guy that you bring in, you're going to be, you know, simpatico with all the decisions he makes, the next coach is from a rotations point of view? You think that next coach isn't going to be starting someone that you don't want him to start, or player X is going to be getting 12 minutes a game when they should be getting 18 or something like that? Unless you've got like one of the best coaches in basketball, or maybe one of the best three coaches in basketball, there's going to be decisions that the coaches make that is going to piss you off. And yeah, that's why I just defend Donovan, because again, people are mad. Coming back to how we started this podcast, people are mad, they're angry, they want to blame someone. I don't know why people only want to blame one person when there's more than enough blame to go around for this whole thing. But for whatever reason, you know, Zach fans want to blame Billy, Pat fans want to blame Billy. Why, I don't know, but it is what it is, but it's just dumb.
Yeah, Billy's not to blame for Vooch shooting 26% from three.
And
right
back
now,
to Vooch we go.
When he's wide open. We definitely want to go back to Vooch. Billy's not to blame for that. Like, I'm always at a loss for words for why people have so much disdain for Billy. And then, you know, you see it, like, I don't know if you guys saw the comments from Patrick Beverley talking about him, talking about what a great coach he was and how much he, like, do your players opt in? This is what two things I judge NBA coaches by. Do they opt in? Do they play hard? The Bulls were top five in defensive efficiency last year. It's one of the most amazing stats I've ever seen. Like, they had two guys I consider probably at one, and Caruso was obviously an excellent defender. Everybody else on that team, including their three best players, I consider to be at best average or below average in terms of being a defensive player. And you're top five in defensive efficiency, number one after the All-Star break. Yes, you've had your team buy into what you're doing. So, like, you know, this year has been a little bit, obviously, a lot more disappointing, to say the least. And maybe it is time for him to go, because maybe they are starting to tune him out. But I don't think you're going to get anybody better than Billy Donovan in here, realistically. You think you're just going to find somebody, bring in some assistant coach, and he's going to be better than Billy Donovan? He's an excellent communicator. I think he handles his communication with the press, and I love listening to his post game.